This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. When the boss comes to dinner, you probably won't serve burgers and fries. Bump the boss's title up to head of state, and the menu gets really serious. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg continues her Tuesday series on food with a man who's cooked for world leaders.
For 12 years, from 1988 to 1999, Russell Cronkite slaved over one of the hottest stoves in America. He was executive chef of Blair House, the early 19th century residence on Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington that serves as the official guest house of the President of the United States. Heads of state from all over the world stay there, and as head of kitchen at Blair House, it was Russell Cronkite's job to provide world leaders with breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack, whatever struck their appetites. So, Mr. Cronkite, what is the oddest request that you ever got from a foreign dignitary?
We had all these formal affairs in Washington going on all the time, and so people sometimes would just want to come home and relax. And so someone like President Mubarak loved to snack on grilled cheese sandwiches. And Benazir Bhutto, who had been educated in the United States, she had always enjoyed having sugar pops for breakfast as a college student.
The Pakistani leader.
Exactly. And so when she came here, one of the things that she requested, apparently she couldn't get in Pakistan, was sugar pops.
Oh, gosh. There you were. You were serving a number of administrations. You went through Reagan, Bush 1, and the Clinton administrations. What was the major challenge that you had cooking for heads of state?
The biggest challenges were always having to deal with and work around and work through all of the different religious dietary restrictions, whether they were Muslim or they were Jewish or Hindu or Buddhist.
So for a Muslim head of state, you couldn't serve pork, you couldn't cook anything that involved alcohol.
Correct. As a chef, you always want to cook with wine and brandy and in everything. And one of the other things that comes up with someone from, say, a Middle Eastern country or a country from Central Africa, where all the foods are cooked well done.
Mm.
And as a chef, you're always thinking, well, I want the fish just barely done. I want the meat medium rare. Yet we're not there to serve ourselves. You're there to serve your guests. So you always had to make sure that you were cooking the foods in the style and a manner that they would enjoy.
You had Yitzhak Shamir of Israel come and stay at Blair House. Did that pose any particular challenges?
It posed a great amount of challenges among the five Israeli prime ministers that I had the honor of serving. He had formed a coalition government, and some of the members of Israeli parliament were very orthodox rabbis, and they traveled with him. And as a result of that, we had to make kosher the entire house. We worked under rabbinical supervision for 5 days, and the rabbis came in ahead of time and ceremonially cleaned all the kitchens. And so we set everything up with separate dishwashers for the dairy dishes and separate areas for the meat and so on and so forth.
Oh, that's a major challenge.
It was a major challenge, but it created an opportunity for me to learn about their culture. And it gave me a personal challenge to try to satisfy them with all these different parameters that I was faced with.
When a French head of state would come to stay at Blair House, did that give you a little chill up your spine? I mean, in many places of the world, the cooking of France is seen as the haute cuisine, you know, the finest of the fine. And so would you try to match that or serve hot dogs?
Well, one of the things you might want to keep in mind in the case of Chirac was that he went to school in the United States as well and actually had worked at Howard Johnson's. He certainly understood American cuisine. But yes, I found it always a little intimidating to cook for someone like Mitterrand or Queen Elizabeth, someone that you knew who had had the finest and the best all of their lives, and they knew cuisine and they knew it well.
You know, I mentioned hot dogs, and you may remember that the Roosevelts during the Second World War served President Queen Elizabeth's mother, Queen Elizabeth, hot dogs when they paid a state visit and came
right
to the White House.
Yes.
Because this was an all-American sort of meal, and they loved it. The British royals loved it.
Well, you have a great history of that. President Jefferson loved to serve macaroni and cheese. The idea behind that is that we're going to give somebody a treat that's truly American. Apple pie is a great example. I remember the president and first lady of the Ukraine. One of the things that she said to me was that all of her life she had heard the term as American as apple pie, and now having tasted its simplicity, she finally understood what that meant.
Ah.
And it's a very special moment because you realize that that's really what you're trying to do. You're trying to say, here's something about our country. food is a major part of any culture.
Thank you very much. Russell Cronkite was executive chef of Blair House in the Reagan, first Bush, and Clinton administrations. He's the author of A Return to Sunday Dinner, a big and pretty cookbook which includes, among other things, a recipe for molasses pecan cake with burnt sugar frosting that will hurt your teeth just to read, let alone stimulate your taste buds so that you will have to race into the kitchen to try it. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
The pecan cake recipe is at npr.org. Next week's Susan series on food concludes with notes on sinful foods.